Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
Well, good morning.
Happy Easter. My name is Tom Kyle. My beautiful wife, Randy, is in the front row. We have the privilege of serving here. People know I have things that I like. I'm glad that there's no kind of, anybody ever heard of something called orange peanuts? The little spongy, horrible things? Everybody's going, ew. Yeah, I like those too. But honestly, I'm not going to mention who gave this to me, but Chris. What I'm going to do at this point is I'm going to slit the seal and let them air dry for about 3-4 weeks so they get good and chewy. And that's when I'll be eating these. So you won't see any yellow film around my mouth for 3 or 4 weeks. They need to be properly aired, which is a good thing. And yes, I'll share. I'll get you your own package because those are mine. But I am willing to share. For all the folks who helped serve out there and set up all the fruit, which I haven't had any of, is it all gone?
Oh, no.
Oh, no. It's all there. Good. Well, for all those people who came, they're up here this week. You know, the bagels. Are there any cinnamon crunch bagels left?
Yes.
Okay. If there are some back there, just leave them alone. Someone will be along to collect them. And not too many of them. And again, I'm willing to share. You can have half of one, too. But for all those people, thank you, thank you, thank you for all the blessing. We walk in, someone like me just walks in, and I think, fruit, where did that come from? You know, I know it's like, you know. And the cinnamon crunch bagels, where did that come? I understand. But I know lots of people every week make things happen, sound team, worship team. So we so appreciate all those folks who serve and love and care. It's wonderful. And just by way of making sure we say thank you, the kids are in the back for the entire, you know, downstairs. If you have a grandchild or a child back there, please, please, please make sure you say thank you before you just, you know, take the child and go off onto the rest of the day's activities. But make sure we say, just show appreciation because they're sacrificing their meeting, and there's so many people that get the benefit from that every week. Stephen and Heather and the 129 team are over in that building. I'll just say, I so appreciate, thank you for what you do. But it's not just for this morning, just ongoing, just having an attitude of gratitude. I know that's kind of trite and a silly little saying, but I find it goes a long way for those people in appreciation and think somebody saw me, somebody understands, and somebody appreciates what I'm doing. It goes so far. For all those people watching online this morning, I wish you were here with us. But we thank you for watching online. We pray that you're blessed and appreciate your prayers for us. And we are praying for you as well. So this morning, as Mr. Maurer already said, happy Resurrection Day, happy Easter Day. And for me, I love holidays. I love them. I especially love Thanksgiving because of stuffing and gravy. I love Christmas because I just love Christmas. But for me, as a Christian, as a believer, as a follower of Jesus, it's like there's one real holiday. I'm not going to say it's legitimate, but it's Easter. Yeah. You know, it's celebrating, you know, because we do Christmas, birth of Jesus. I love that. But he's probably born more in the springtime. I know we do it in December and it's okay. Just celebrate it whenever. But when I think about Easter, This is for a believer, a follower of Jesus, this is that moment you're like, oh my gosh, someone died for me. Someone laid their life down for me. And it's just, it's the Bible actually talks, I'll get to in just a second, but just don't forget. Remember what I've been experiencing for the last 45 plus years. It cost somebody everything. It wasn't easy. You didn't just send a gift. You didn't send a Hallmark card. You know, with $10, anybody get a card when you're a kid? You know, your dad would send you a dollar. I still love sending my kids a Christmas card now just with a dollar in it. You know, and they're like, Dad, what are you doing? I'm like, being weird as your dad is. But so many people, they when they think of Easter, it brings so many memories. I think it was my beautiful wife, Randy, was talking earlier about just people that are no longer here. There are people in this room, and there's a seat next to them that's unoccupied by someone that they loved with all their heart. And again, things, moments like this, it brings up recollections. It brings up memories. And other people think about Easter, they think about going to church. Maybe that one time in the year where, you know, again, your husband makes you come, and you're sitting there going, okay. But our thoughts can race on to the rest of the day. What's going to happen? We think about chocolate and chocolate bunnies, and yes, we have Peeps, but there's nothing really that compares to chocolate. Or it shouldn't, anyway. And Randy and I went yesterday to someone's house, some dear friends, and they got two little girls, and they're just these beautiful little dresses. And Mike, can I, just for a second? It's going to be good. It's okay. Okay, I got that look. Hey, Lauren, can I just tell a story?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. She said I could. And so we just think about Easter, and you think about special days and celebrations and everything that's exciting. And my wife said, this is what she said. I didn't say this because I have no interest. She said, I should have got an Easter dress, you know, a new Easter dress. And I think she looks amazing, you know. But again, but when we think of Easter, you think, you know, Christmas dresses for little girls and Christmas dresses for older girls, older than like a three-year-old. We think of Easter egg hunts and, you know, you just think apple pie, yes, pecan pie better. Ham, it's not very kosher, but ham. I was talking to somebody at the beginning of the meeting, just ham, yes, in Jesus' name. And if your family loves you, there's not very many casseroles. We do that for other holidays where people don't love you as much. Give you casseroles. Here, throw it all in one and eat it. You're going to love it, kind of. We just think of holidays. We'll be going over to celebrate with three of our four children and spouses and all that at 4:30 this afternoon. You're welcome to come along with us. You have to figure it out because we're not going to give you directions. But there's so many things about, is it going to rain? Can we get in before the rain? Are we going to do this with the Easter egg hunt and the kids? And are we going to do this? And we're rushing off. And it's just like every other holiday. It's so busy. Christmas, all the presents, all the, you know, all the things, the trappings. And it's so easy to forget why we're actually doing what we're doing. And if you were like me, you know, I was raised in a very, very, very broken home, very, very broken relationships. And you think sometimes, you know, family's coming over and you're like, oh, Jesus, please come also, Jesus. We need you here, Prince of Peace. Come, please. But then we just slow everything down. Why this special day? Why this special day? In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, this father, a man, an apostle, apostolic man named Paul, wrote to his son in the faith. And they're both ministers. They're both pastors, if you will. And this older man saying to this younger man something that seems really he had to remind this younger. He's a full-time ministry guy. And yet Paul, knowing the busyness of life, knowing all the trappings and everything that goes with life, this older man tells this younger pastor, oh yeah, son, remember Jesus Christ. We get so busy. We're doing so much. And this Jesus, he was raised from the dead. He descended from David. This is my gospel. And it's so with Easter egg hunts and chocolate and ham and new dresses. Sorry. It's about someone who gave everything. There was a cost, a precious cost. Jesus, the only Son of God eternal. He had everything. He wanted nothing. He needed nothing. And he laid it all aside to come down in absolute obscurity, to be born in a horse trough or an animal trough amongst a smell of animal stench of every kind. Total humility. Nobody knew him. Nobody understood him. Raised for 30 years. And his reward? Oh, yeah, you get to die on the cross. The religious people today are going to hate you. because you're upsetting their power base. And you're, well, in Matthew 4, this is what Jesus, it says a little bit about what Jesus did. Matthew 4, 24, the Bible says this, speaking of Jesus, news about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him, Jesus, all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures and the paralyzed, and he healed them. All he did was good. We hear testimonies where Jesus is still healing babies and teenagers and older people. And you think he should be celebrated and he should have been king forever and sat on a throne. But the throne that he was put on was a cross. His reward for just doing good, just healing people, just loving everyone. His reward on earth at that time was, we'll kill you. John 21:25 says this. The Apostle John, at the conclusion of his gospel, he was telling everything about what Jesus had done. And John concluded his gospel with this. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. And when we have this Bible, it's just like a peek through a keyhole of all that he did and all that he said. All the people that he touched, all the people that he healed, all the time, every day, everywhere he went. All he did was bring good and heal and save and deliver, restore families, bring their little kids back to life. That's all that Jesus did was good. That's all he did. And there's a older movie, it's a fairly famous movie. It's called The Greatest Story Ever Told. It's an old movie. And it's just about Jesus. And it's so aptly named, the greatest story ever told about this man. And if we go about in society now, most of the time when we hear the Lord's name, it's taken in vain. In our society, Jesus isn't celebrated, but he is sworn at and sworn about. His reward, put him on a cross. Jesus was betrayed by one of his own followers. The Bible says about that follower, he's a son of perdition. It's an old word. And the Bible also says about that man who betrayed Jesus, it would have been better if he had never been born. Ah. What did he do? He just loved people. He just healed people. And he still does it. In Matthew 26, verse 67 and 68, Matthew 26, talking about Jesus, the very end of his 33 years of life on earth. He'd been arrested by the Romans because of the Jewish people wanting to kill him and hate him. I just read it again this morning, the whole story of give us Barabbas instead. Give us a murderer, a known murderer. This Jesus, put him on a cross and kill him. In Matthew 26, the Bible says this, speaking of the Romans when Jesus was arrested. Then they spit in his face and struck him with their fists. Others stripped him and said, prophesy to us, Messiah, who hit you? Oh, there's a reason we celebrate this day. And it's not about Easter eggs. It's not about chocolate. I know. It's not about ham and going over to grandma's house. We celebrate this day because there was one who paid the ultimate price. Matthew 27, verse 27, the Bible says this, then the governors... soldiers, the Romans, then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. And they stripped him, Jesus, they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him to mock. And they twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. and they put a staff in his right hand. And then they knelt in front of him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. And they spit on him. And they took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. And after they had mocked him, he took off the robe and put on his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. That was Jesus' reward for loving people. That was Jesus' reward for healing people. And he left perfect heaven for this. This was his reward. Horrifically crucified between two criminals. And as Randy said, but we know the story now. Yes, he died on a cross. Most everyone besides one of his disciples, one betrayed him, one stood, the other 10 just ran away afraid. Mostly it was women at the cross who were brave enough to stand there. The men pulled up skirt and ran. But that day, 3 days later, in John 20, the Bible tells this, and this is why we celebrate. John 20, verse 1, I'll just read through it. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Verse 2, so she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. I find that funny because John's the one that wrote this. He said it about himself. It's still funny to me. The one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together. But the other disciple, again, even says, "I even won the race." I love this guy. Both of them were running together. But the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen clothes lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. And he saw the linen cloths lying there and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the other, with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, let it go, John, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. And then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And when she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet, they, the angels, said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And Mary said to the angels, she said to them, "They've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And here's the question for the ages, for all of us. Whom are you seeking? Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." Not woman, not hello, McFly, wakey, wakey. Jesus wasn't mad. Wasn't frustrated. "Woman, don't you get it? How long do I have to be with you?" Jesus, the perfect most loving person we will ever meet, just looked at this woman that he loved, and he tenderly said her name. Dripping with love, Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene went out and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And then he had said these things to her. It was the third day. It was, as Randy said earlier, every hope dashed, crushed. All of them realized they failed. They should have said something. They should have done something. Our dream is gone. And yet this Jesus, who had prophesied, told them, "I will rise on the third day." Could it be true? Could it be true? His body is gone. And now we have people. Mary even saying. The Bible says, if you read in other Gospels, that when Jesus was on the cross, the sky went dark for 3 hours. There were earthquakes that happened when Jesus was on the cross. And it says, saints of old rose from the dead and appeared to disciples in Jerusalem. The curtain, the Holy of Holies, where the priest would walk in once a year with bells around the bottom of his robe, because if he died in the Holy of Holies, they could drag him out and not die themselves. That curtain, I forget how tall it was, 20 feet, 30 feet, it was above human reach. Torn from the top to the bottom, all when Jesus was on the cross. And even the Romans who were there at the cross looked in awe as the earthquakes were happening and covered in darkness. Even the Romans who didn't believe at that point said, "This must have been the Son of God." It was that traumatic and dramatic. And Jesus came and he offered life. And he spoke to broken, hurt people like Mary and just said her name. Sweetly, kindly. He offers hope. He offers life. There's no one ever been like him. There will never be anyone like him. But he's alive and he lives forevermore. And like I said about this car title earlier, this truck title, Jesus has signed and he said, "Eternal life is yours if you want. But if you don't sign, it's not yours." All you have to do is say yes. You don't have to be good enough. You don't have to be smart enough. You don't have to go to Bible school. You don't have to attend church. You don't have to give any money. All it requires is you. And somebody saying yes. Because he paid for everything. All he needs is a yes. Romans 10, verse 9 says this: "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." It can't be that easy. It is. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. In John 11, again, Jesus speaking to a woman, verse 25. In John 11, the Bible says this: Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." And Jesus asked this woman, do you believe this? When Mary saw him after she's in the tomb, she turned around and saw this human. And she thought he was the gardener. She didn't recognize him in the moment. I don't know if her eyes were filled with tears. If anybody knew Jesus, this woman knew Jesus. But she didn't recognize him. And it's so funny. The Bible says she thought he was the gardener. She saw him. She saw him, but she didn't see him. And so many people, they know all about Jesus, but they still haven't seen him. Because once you see him, everything changes. Last week, I was with some very, very dear friends. My wife and I were with some very dear friends. And like most people, I heard one earlier, a few minutes ago, which is absolutely fine. Doesn't bother me at all. Unless it plays a bad ringtone, then I don't like that. But this week, we were having breakfast, Randy and I, with a couple. And this is my phone case. We have a picture of my phone case because people there it is. It's got a little W on it sideways. You have to kind of look like that. But it's just a phone case. There's nothing special about my phone case. Some of you have been out to a meal with me or to my house, or I've been over to your house. You will have seen this phone case. Many of you, I've left this phone at your home and come back and got it. Or I've left it at the restaurant and come back and got it. It needs to be attached. But it's just a phone case. And this phone case is actually, it was fairly expensive. I know, surprising, but it was fairly expensive. But I bought it. Okay, if you're new here, I don't wear suit coat ever. I just don't. I'm not a suit and tie. I had to wear a suit and tie for years at work. I don't do suit and tie. Never been a suit and tie person. Don't want to be a suit and tie person. So I just left a tie, so just a suit. Coat. But this thing, it's just a garment. It's just an exterior. The real me is inside. Sounded good when I wrote it. This case is just a case. It has little value. What's valuable is what's inside of it, which is part of the reason why I bought this silly case. It's getting kind of old now. We don't have the picture of the backside, but I've had it for a while. But the real purpose of this was to protect the phone. So when I drop it, it doesn't break. Because what's inside is really, really, really valuable to me. This thing inside here can launch rockets to the moon. Not in my hands, my kids' hands. The capability of this phone is amazing. And many of us remember, like 30 years ago, I worked at a real job. I worked for a major insurance company. We'll just say that. State Farm. Shh, don't throw rocks. And, John Block. Where's John? There he is. John and I worked together for 3 years, and he's forgiven me for those 3 years of working together. But John and I worked together for 3 years for State Farm. I'm not going to make fun of the company. It was a great company. God bless me in it, with it. Silly little phone case. But we remember in the day we would need to call somebody. I'd have to go to a gas station and put a dime in there. It started out as a dime. Then it ended up being a quarter. It cost you more. There was no phones like this. I would stop at a gas station. Hey, I'm going to be 20 minutes late. Now that I stopped, 30 minutes late. But there was no phones. I mean, the younger generation is like, what? But now this thing, it's amazing. I can call you and tell you I'm only 9 minutes late now. If my wife's not with me, because I can't do that in the car when she's with me. But this case, I know, it's very awkward. I'm sorry, moving on. This contents of this silly case are really valuable. And I bought the case so it wouldn't break the phone inside. Here's the next slide, Wilma. That's my phone. See how good my case worked? There's another shot, same phone. Painful. It broke! Not because I treat it like this. It broke. And there, you see the little crack on the side? The little... It used to have a screen protector. You should have bought a screen protector. I did. I had a screen protector on it. And I had a friend of mine, oh, I'm sure it's just a screen protector. Peeled off the screen protector. It's broken. Yeah, I know. And it happened months and months and months and months ago. And it chipped on the side, but now there's a crack running right through the center of it. It's broken. It broke. But here's the funny thing. I'm still using it. Months later. And you know what? Even though it's broken, it still kind of functions. Until more recently, I'm typing text, and all of a sudden, G's just start, the letter G, faster than I can type. Stop it. I'm trying to text, and it's just G's. 3, 5, 10 lines. And I'm like, stupid phone. No, I didn't throw it. It functions fine most of the time. But it's broken. All I got to do is get it fixed. But I don't have time. I just don't have time. What do I do with my goofy phone? I just keep using it, even though it's broken. And occasionally it malfunctions. But I turn the stupid thing off, turn it back on. Hopefully it stops making G's. And I found it's a picture of most all of our lives. It's broken. It needs to be fixed. The only problem is I can't fix it. Way beyond my ability. It's broken. Tom, non-skilled tech person, can't do anything about it. I can either get it fixed or I can continue using a broken device that malfunctions all the time. And that's called life. Every single one of us. How old you are is irrelevant. We all, because of life, get broken. And we can either continue using that brokenness and the malfunction that goes along with it. We can say, I need a new one that's broken. I'm getting G's all the time. Whether it's lying, stealing, hiding, cussing, alcohol, gambling, whatever. There's lots of vices, lots of options. But it's all malfunction because we were created not to be like that. But life happens and we get broken. Or you can get a new one. You can get it fixed. And that's what Jesus offers us. He says, you're broken. He'll give us a new heart. But he's the only one who can do that. There's only one repair person, and his name is Jesus. So if you could, just take a second, just close your eyes. I'm not going to come and take your money. It's okay. You can trust me. Put a hand on your wallet. It's okay. If you're here this morning, and you recognize you've been functioning to the best of your ability, but you've never said yes to Jesus, there's an option, an opportunity to get your heart fixed once and for all and get it healed and made whole once and for all. And it's not going to be the end of your problems and it's not going to be the end of your pain. But you do get forgiven one time for all time. And he offers you eternal life with him forever. And so that's the offer that Jesus gives us. To believe that he is God's son. That he did live a life perfect. And he's the only one that lived a perfect life that was never broken. And he says, I'll give you my perfect life, Tom, for your broken life. And a perfect exchange. And all I got to do is like sign on the car title line. Say, yes, I'll take it. So maybe you didn't pray earlier. Maybe you did. That's okay. But let's pray. Jesus, I believe in you. I choose to believe in you right here, right now. You are who you say you are. You are the Son of God. And you lived a perfect life. And as the Bible says, I believe you healed everywhere. I don't understand it, but I believe you healed everywhere you went. And you love people who hated you in return. And Jesus, I want to love you in return right now. I want to believe in you right now. Thank you for dying on a cross for me, for my brokenness. Thank you for rising from the dead on the third day, as we read earlier, an empty tomb. Jesus, I want to believe. I choose to believe right now and put my trust entirely on you, in you. And if that's you, just in the quietness of where you're sitting right now, just say, Jesus, I choose to believe. It's as simple as that. And Jesus, I put my hope in you right now. And the Bible says if you confess with your mouth, you will be saved. It's signing the car title and saying, yes, I'll make it mine. I'm going to make it personal. And if that's you, I'd like to talk to you for 2 minutes afterwards. But it's as simple as saying, Jesus, I choose you right here, right now. And I'd like to pray for you. But that's in just a minute. When this amazing woman named Mary went into the tomb and she recognized him finally, at first she thought he was the gardener. She saw him as he really is. And her eyes were open. Before, it was just rabbi. He was just teacher. He was just the healer. But she finally understood, oh my gosh, this is the Messiah. This is the King of all kings right here before me. And I'd just like to play a video for a second. It's only 3 minutes long. You'll be fine. About a man, he's a preacher, he's gone on to be with the Lord now, who had a revelation of who Jesus is. And I hope it blesses you in hearing, because a lot of times we just see Jesus like this. He's just this to me. He's just that to me. He's just my teacher. He's just my Messiah. He's just my healer. But he's so much more, because he's the King of all kings. So if you just, for 3 minutes...
The Bible says, my king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduring. Strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards rewards the diligent, and he beautifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Terror couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him. And the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah!
I'm just going to say I love that. But again, that's my king. Who is he to you? Is he just a gardener? Just a historical person? A religious figure? He changed my life. Top to bottom, inside out, I was broken and I couldn't fix me. But Jesus is a healer. Can we all stand, please? If you're able, not, it's okay. Jesus, I thank you that you came and you lived a perfect, sinless life. And I thank you that you came to bring heaven to earth, to show us what the Father in heaven is really like. That he calls us by name, tenderly, compassionately. We're not a number. We're not a problem to him. But you came that we might know you. You came that we might live for you. Jesus, I pray that every person here has an understanding, a revelation of who you are today. And it would change how I behave, change how I think, change how I speak. But I thank you, you just accept me as I am right now, right here. I don't have to do anything for you. But say yes. So Jesus, as we go about the rest of our day, some of us, many of us encountering family, Lord, I pray that we would remember who you are. That's my King. Where I go, I bring peace because I'm taking Jesus with me. Where I go, I bring acceptance because Jesus, you're going with me. Jesus, where I go today and whoever I speak with, I bring the love of heaven, the kingdom of heaven with me because you're going with me wherever I go. Father, for our families, may there be peace, may there be love, may there be change as we turn to you and adapt and adopt your belief system. Your values, your truth, in exchange for the lies I have believed. Jesus, thank you. Thank you, thank you for the way that you love me and the way you love Bob and Susan and Shirley and Shelley and Ted. All the people here today, I think you know all of us by name and your love is the same for all of us. Regardless of what we've done in the past or who we're going to become, you just love us. Holy Spirit, I thank you that your job is to bring Jesus to me, to bring understanding to me through the scripture and through encountering you. Bless us. Bless us, Lord, that we would spill and splash over starting today and the rest of our days to show people you, Jesus, my King, and who you really are. Bless us as we go today. Thank you for your goodness and your kindness and your love. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Have an amazing day. Be blessed.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.